Hey, my friend, this is Alex Pardo, and you are listening to the Flip Empire Show, episode 172.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, hey, how's it going? I hope you're having an awesome day. And I got a cool masterclass for you today with Don Ross, who is a full-time real estate investor and, as he calls it, an automation geek based out of Southern California. And he's perfected the virtual real estate investing model. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit today because he does deals out of Eastern Wisconsin. But aside from that, Don also runs a Podio CRM company called REI Automation Squad that essentially provides automation and follow-up solutions for real estate investors. But that's not really what we get into on this particular episode. You know, one of the things that's interesting about Don is, well, first of all, not only did he serve, you know, the country in the United States Marines for 7 years, did two tours in Afghanistan. So, you know, he just, hats off to him and thank you for his service. But him and his partner, you know, recently, as of the last 3-4 months, are doing a complete shift in their business model from wholesale / wholetail and now moving into the retail model and building out an actual brokerage. So, you know, if you're in a hot market, a lot of people only have one, maybe two tools in their toolbox, and they're looking to buy the house really cheap, you know, significantly below market value. But what if you could offer the homeowner a variety of services, whether it's a cash offer, a terms deal, you know, like seller financing, or if that didn't work and they wanted retail and they were not motivated, what if you could get the listing? Or, you know, take it a step further, what if an agent on your team could get the listing and now the commissions that were generated from those listings would essentially take care of your entire marketing budget and maybe even put a little bit of a profit in your bank account? So that's really what we get into. You know, he's partnered with someone who is has been a broker for a long time, and now they're building out this brokerage business. And so we get into the details of that. I think you're really going to like it.
Don, what's going on, my man? It's great to have you on the show.
How we doing, brother?
Everything is awesome, dude. How are you doing?
Can't complain. Good old sunny SoCal.
Yeah, I love it, man. Now, what part of California are you in?
We live on the border of LA County, Orange County. It's called Roland Heights. Got a nice little city valley view.
Nice, man. Nice. Are you originally from there?
Originally Wisconsin for 20 plus years and then moved over to North Carolina for 7 for the military. And then after the military, moved out here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, man, I know you and I were talking before we started recording here, so I definitely want to tip my hat and just, you know, on behalf of everybody listening, thank you for your service to our country and everything you went through, man. So thank you.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, hey, dude, we got connected through a really close friend of mine, Chris Chico. He put us in contact several months back, and I know you and I had a conversation, and I was really excited and just kind of curious and intrigued with everything you have going on in your business now. I know you're, you know, obviously full-time real estate investor. You're really an expert when it comes to automation, and I know you have a, you know, a Podio service and all that. But really what I wanted to kind of dig into is just kind of maybe fill in the gaps, you know, that I didn't cover in the intro as far as how you got started in this business. I know, you know, one of your models is the virtual real estate investing model. And then I think we're going to transition into, you know, you're kind of going into a different model. And I think it'd be really a big value add and a big benefit for people to kind of hear, you know, not only how you got started, how you perfected the virtual real estate investing model, and then now what you're doing as far as being able to offer homeowners, you know, multiple types of services, really.
Okay. Yeah. You know, a couple of years back, I started playing with the real estate model, and like everyone else, kind of jumped around on the forums and YouTube and all that good stuff. And I did actually wind up buying Chico's course on virtual real estate. Yeah. And learned from the different postcards and stuff that you could mail. My first deal, honestly, was a lease option out in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Then I kind of switched to the model. I saw it to be a little bit easier to do the wholesale model. So I teamed up with some other wholesalers that were closing deals out there. And, you know, part of that was the bumps and bruises of trying to team up with people that I thought were going to close deals, but they didn't really put priority on my stuff. And I was spending the money on the marketing and we were going to do a 50-50 split.
Yep.
So after two or three of those, I found the lady that I now partner with, And since then, you know, we've closed a ton of deals. I think last year we're in the neighborhood of like 25, 30 a month, a year. So, you know, at this point we've got a good relationship built. And her and I have gone down the path of actually opening up a secondary company, if you will. And so we're now partners in a company, 50-50 partners. And we're moving away from the virtual model. The virtual model works just fine, but we're finding that in this hot market, it's a little bit more difficult to get them to accept just the cash offers or maybe some owner finance type stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them want to go to the retail market and try to see what it's going to do for them if they can get what they're asking on the retail market.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to retool, and we've already done some of this in the last 2.5-3 months, where we're, you know, we own a brokerage together, and we're basically going down the path of now bringing on agents, and we're going to be going down the path of having them come on and help us with the retail model of them going into an appointment, going for a wholesale, and if it doesn't look like it's going to work, they'll transition over to, okay, you know, wholesale is not going to work. Let's go down the path of a retail and see if the retail works and gets the price that you want. If it does, great. If it doesn't, you know, here we are back to have a conversation of cash offer, owner finance type offer. Do any of these work for you at that point?
Yeah, right. You know what I love about this, and there's so many directions we can go in here, which we'll dive into as the show kind of goes on. But I love the fact that, you know, there's a lot of wholesalers, and especially in the hot markets, I know a lot of people that they just have one tool in their tool belt or in their toolbox, right? And it's here's a cash offer, and if it works, great. If not, you know, they don't really have any other tools or strategies to monetize it. And so I love the fact that you guys approach it with, hey, here's our cash offer. Number two, here's a terms offer, right? Whether it's seller financing or otherwise. Or number three, you know, let's be honest. I mean, I think most sellers that come in from our leads, whether it's direct mail marketing or online marketing, cold calling, a lot of people, they want retail value or very close to it. Some people, you know, are just nuts and they want significantly more than retail value. So think about being able to meet with a homeowner, whether it's you or your acquisitions manager, and now you have not only one or two, but you have three different services that you can offer them. And Don, I'm assuming that you guys are first approaching it like as a wholesaler, or, you know, as you guys are the buyer, here's our offer. And then you obviously, you know, talk about the benefits of your cash offer. And then if you find that it's just not going anywhere, that's when you kind of like, you know, you pivot and you go the agent route.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's absolutely correct. So the way the model will work with the agents on board is they will have a cut percentage or a cut fee that they get for a retail listing because we provide the lead to them. And if we come in and do the deal as far as a wholesale fee, it's going to surpass what they would have gotten on a retail. So there's a benefit to them to go in and get the wholesale deal first. But if it doesn't make sense, then obviously pivot, try to get the retail from them. And if it, you know, if it sells on retail, great. We've monetized on a way that we wouldn't have otherwise. My partner's been a broker for a decade at this point. Okay. So, you know, it just makes sense now to try to build out that team. Neither one of us, you know, want to work the 80, 90 hours. So it's, you got to build out that team. We've mm-hmm. got, at this point, we've had leads managers. We're in between leads managers. So the way that we're going to work that is the agents coming on are going to fill part of that. But right now we've got a disposition guy that sells the properties and or contracts. Some of them we're closing and then selling, some that we're just assigning. And he's absolutely helped us build out the back end of that of buyer side, you know, 3 and 4 times what we had it before him. So okay. It's been great to have him on.
So Don, I'm trying to like picture the org chart. What does the team look like today? I know you said you have, you know, you have a dispositions guy now, obviously it's you and your partner, but what's the team look like today as you guys are in the process of bringing agents on? And then like, what's the big picture vision for what you see this new company with your partner evolving into, and what does that look like? I mean, are you going to have a huge staff of a bunch of agents and disposition managers, or what is the model? Like, what does it look like today? And then what's the plan for how you're going to get to where you want to go?
Right. So the way the plan would have been before would have been the model that a lot of wholesalers follow is a leads manager answering the phone. We've used an actual in-house leads manager. We've used call services. We've got one right now that, quite frankly, does quite well, Call Porter. is local US based Missouri people answering the phone, and it's probably one of the best I've heard. We had another one that did quite well, but they're now doing just cold call services. Mm-hmm. So we've transitioned kind of from that, but that would have been a leads manager that we had that was answering the phone, returning follow up, all that good stuff. And then acquisitions, my partner was filling, she was going on the appointments, all that, you know, that we had for that. And then dispo side, we had Jason, who was selling any of the properties or contracts that we had. And for me, basically what I was doing is the marketing was on me, the numbers, as far as keeping track of all the numbers. We've got, if anyone's familiar with the book Traction, we've got a full workspace built out off that model that tracks our weekly numbers. We have a level 10 meeting. And then, you know, for me, it was just making sure the Podio works, building out whatever we needed to make it a little bit easier on everybody in the company. That was the current business model, the current org chart that we had. What we're moving more towards now is, you know, big ideas, me, my partner's kind of operations and making things happen. She's obviously the broker, so the realtors will fall underneath her license. And then as far as dispo, obviously for now, the one will do, but yes, there will be probably two or three at some point, depending on how big we build that. But for now, one does just fine. And then I'll do still the marketing. You know, for us, that's direct mail mostly. We're jumping in to start doing some of the Facebook stuff and learning kind of how to do that. But right now, that's how we've built it out.
Right. Awesome, man. And you touched on the book Traction. And guys, I want to encourage you, if you haven't, I know Don, I know you know Joe Evangelisti. We had him on not too long ago. If you guys haven't had a chance to check it out, not only Don, but Joe's also a big fan of Traction and the EOS model. So if you guys haven't heard that episode, go to flipempire.com/episode154. Really quick, Don, can you talk about, maybe spend a minute or two and just kind of talk about what Traction has done, not only to your, you know, your prior model, but how you guys are really like leaning on that as you build out this current business?
Sure. As far as the model itself, I'm a data guy big time. I'm, you know, a computer geek type. So for me, having the numbers, running by the numbers is absolutely essential, and it puts me at calm. I get nervous when I don't know exactly what's kind of going on. So yeah. I can look at the numbers.
And with good reason, right? Yeah, you should be nervous.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, when you're dropping anywhere from some months, you know, 10 to 15,000 mailers, and then other marketing that you're doing, yeah, you're nervous making sure it's actually performing and working. Mm-hmm. So for that, you know, we've got obviously weekly, you know, whatever you want to call it, KPIs or goal numbers that everyone has. Each person is assigned certain goals, and that one person is in charge of that. So either they make it or they don't make it. They're on track, they're off track. They have a little button that they click inside of our Podio. Every week they have these KPIs that are in there. They're assigned to them. They're responsible for them. And if they don't meet the goal, they're the one to answer to them. Yeah. So that's the ultimate, you know, you can't have two and three people that they're sitting there pointing back and forth why numbers didn't make it. It's one person ultimately in charge of that and responsible for that and why it makes it or doesn't make it.
Yep.
We do a Tuesday level 10 meeting. We've got an agenda. It's an hour and a half long. Go down the agenda, work through, you know, the different KPIs, the rocks that we have, our 90-day rocks of what we're trying to accomplish for the next quarter. Uh-huh. And then from that, we'll start working through any issues or problems as well. And that's usually 45 minutes roughly that we're working through those. And, you know, that can be anything from buyers, sellers, or contracts. And every once in a while, we'll jump into a rehab. So sometimes that'll be the one that's popping up. Quite frankly, I'm not a huge fan of rehabs.
I wonder why, right?
My background is construction, and I still don't like them.
Yeah.
I'd rather paint carpet in and out. It seems like no matter what you do, the rehabs come and bite you at some point.
Right.
But that was, you know, kind of how we were using Traction. Is the weekly meetings kind of run everything. That's the tempo. And then the apps that we have set up at this point allow us to come in and check where we're at for our weekly numbers, daily numbers that everyone has assigned. And we can always go back and review those numbers, obviously, and see the trends of up or down, whether we're going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And then overall, just, you know, the Podio stuff has reports on the activity screen when you're first logging in, so you can see top level. And you know, just by looking at that, really, if things are going good, bad, or, you know, you need to adjust at that point.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's, I think it's so critical to operate by the numbers. It allows you, I think the data just gives you direction as far as, you know, making decisions and not flying by the seat of your pants. Dude, I think it'd be valuable. Can you kind of touch on what are some of the, and for those of you who are hearing, you know, the acronym KPIs and you're not sure what that means, it just means the key performance indicators, the metrics, the important metrics in the different departments of a business. Don, can you touch on, you know, your different team members, which KPIs they report on?
Sure. So leads manager is going to be number of outbound calls. And then the next one after that for her is going to be number of connections. So we want to be able to see how many calls it takes to make a connection and then how many appointments are set. And obviously through those numbers, you can kind of do some quick math and figure out how many calls need to be made in order to get a connection and there get a appointment.
Okay.
Once appointment is set, it kind of moves over to the acquisition person. So appointment's completed. And we kind of take it one step further. We're actually tracking appointments rescheduled and canceled as well. Okay. Want to see kind of what that conversion ratio is there. And then ultimately, how many offers were made by, you know, if you had more than one acquisition person, for us, it's just one, but how many offers were made for that week? Then how many contracts were put under, and then ultimately a dispo person is in charge of how many contracts were sold. And then overall from that, I come in and look at gross and net. And then I'm also looking at how much for direct mail, I'm tracking how much direct mail went out for the week as well. Okay. If you have Facebook or Google pay-per-click, we've got it set up where we can track that as well on a weekly spend. And then, you know, ultimately you can start doing campaign tracking as well that we're looking at.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's really valuable because I think, you know, sometimes people have a hard time kind of wrapping their head around, you know, what are the numbers that I need to track, right? And I think the important thing is not to get so stuck in the weeds. And I mean, you can drill down a bunch of levels, but, you know, like what you said, Don, the lead manager, you know, how many calls, how many connections, how many appointments, right? So every time you meet with your team, I mean, we do a weekly huddle. That's one of the things that are, you know, we don't have a lead manager. We used to, now it's an acquisitions person, but we've kind of bunched it in. Those are three of the numbers that that person needs to report on. And so, yeah, if you don't have, or if you're not tracking the KPIs, it's just very difficult for you to know what's working. Why is it not working? Or why is it working? Really, again, the data just gives you some direction and it helps you know where you're going. And I think you kind of touched on something that's really important that hopefully people caught is, you know, if you need to know how many calls it takes to get an appointment and you need to know how many appointments it takes to get a contract and so on. And then that way, you know, once you set your goals, if you want to make X amount of dollars, you use the KPIs to kind of reverse engineer the process. And now, you know, on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, what you need to be doing from a marketing perspective, what kind of activities or tasks do you or your team need to do in order to hit those numbers?
Yeah, it's been, life-changing for our business. I mean, you know, before finding Traction, and actually Joe is how I heard about the book Traction. And then I kind of wound up working in a secondary business for a while where they actually had hired an EOS coach and had him fly out. So it was cool to see what they were doing.
Yeah.
And be able to take that and then implement that into our business.
Very cool, man. Very cool. So awesome, man. So kind of, you know, pivoting now towards, I know you're in the process. You said earlier that you're hiring agents. What's kind of the onboarding or the training process that you guys have in place for these people? Because are you looking, number one, I guess, are you looking for just licensed agents that don't really understand the investing side of the business? And then, like, how are you going about training these people now on, okay, well, here's the hat you have to wear to look and analyze and underwrite the deal as an investment. And then, okay, well, if it doesn't work, now you just kind of default to what you already know. Did I kind of summarize that? Or how are you going about that process of training these people?
That is a good summary of it. What we're doing right now is, honestly, we are in the pivot process right now. So we have got the interview, the job postings out there. We're interviewing agents at this point. And what we're looking for, to an extent, is, yes, a baby agent that doesn't know how to do the investing side. And we're teaching them how to do that. What that looks like, we have a Google site, nice little free site, and all of our policies, procedures, and training videos for each position are on that website and awesome. Broken down for them. I'm in the process. That's one of my things, is kind of building those things out. That's another hat that I wear. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that one. But we have a guy that's currently doing exactly what we're trying to do. And he's out in Boston and we're hiring him. And we're going to start taking some of his training that he's already got working for him and his agents. He's got a team of over 100 and I think 75 agents [S2] Wow. [S1] At this point. He built out in 2 years. So we're looking at, you know, getting on with him. We're going to take the training. Part of his thing is we get to grab some of his training, obviously use what we like, adjust if we want to, but mm-hmm. it's working for him. So I don't plan on adjusting a ton of it, and bring them on, use that training. They'll help train some of the agents on how they do their systems and we'll proceed from that. I mean, it's definitely one of those things of do what you know and then hire out the rest. Yeah. He's doing what we want and it makes sense to hire him for it.
Yeah, and it's so smart what you're doing. You're finding somebody that, you know, has the business model that you guys are in the process of building and you're bringing that person on board to help you rather than, you know, have to incur all the bumps and bruises. I mean, you know, you're still going to have challenges, obviously, but you're shorting the learning curve by bringing on somebody who has already built it out over a 2 year period. And you said that person has 175 agents. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
That's huge.
The ultimate goal at that point and why we're kind of going down this model, you know, the big picture of what he's got going is his brokerage and retail stuff is paying for the marketing for the investment side. So he's ultimately got kind of almost an infinite budget to market.
Can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So his agents are going out on the appointments that he's spending marketing dollars on.
Got it.
They're converting deals that they would have never got before to retail.
Uh-huh.
And those commissions that they're making and bringing dollars into the company are now basically making it to where all the money spent on the marketing is paid for by those commissions.
It's self-liquidated. So yep.
Yeah. So anything above and beyond that's investment side is just a plus. And so basically that brokerage is covering all the marketing dollars. Awesome. And if they continue to spend the marketing dollars, they're just getting more marketing dollars to spend on putting out on pay-per-click or whatever else they want to go after.
Interesting. So just based on, I know his model, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the kind of results you guys are going to have or vice versa. But do you have any idea, at least for that particular guy that you're working with, does he turn a profit on the listing or does the listing commissions essentially just cover all of his marketing spends?
To my understanding, it's covering the marketing expense. I don't know that he has a profit on the listings or not.
Okay. And do you have any idea kind of what percentage or what breakdown is, you know, wholesale deal to listing? Like, is he getting 80% listings and 20% wholesale deals every time they go on an appointment? Or what's, I'm just curious what that kind of breakdown looks like for him.
Yeah, it's definitely right now with the hotter market, it's definitely on the upper end, like you brought up with 80-70% listing side. But from that, you know, I talked to them last week and they had, I think, 95 or 100 seller appointments for the week.
Wow.
And so, you know, they're able to cherry pick, whether that be the wholesales or, you know, if they're going to do a rehab of some sort, they're able to cherry pick from all that. And when you have that amount of appointments, it makes it much easier to start cherry picking the stuff that makes sense and not going after the smaller deals that you're just making work because you have to, because you just give cash offers.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to think that like two critical components to making this a success and work is obviously number one, it goes without saying, is just the people that you hire and bring on, the types of the agents. I mean, of course you want the A players, right? But number two, it's just having the infrastructure and the systems and the processes in place, not only to train them, but to manage and track all of these numbers. I mean, you got, you know, a couple hundred agents or even, you know, 50-100 agents, and you know people are going on 50-100 appointments. I mean, if you don't have, you know, your I's dotted and your T's crossed, I could see a lot of balls dropping there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's got systems in place that he's obviously using to track that. I've already behind scenes been going down the path of building out a realtor version of the CRM that we build. So, you know, we've got stuff in place already for that, but there's definitely part of the reason why we're hiring him is that right there, because it can become a mess real quick if yeah. you're not familiar with the area and some of the bumps and bruises that he went through and going down that path.
Right. So, man, I guess taking a few steps back, Don, is the biggest reason that you and your partner kind of decided to go down this path because were you just going on a bunch of appointments, whether it was you or your acquisitions person, and you guys were just not walking away with the contracts because most of these people weren't distressed? Or like, what was the fork in the road, so to speak, as far as you guys deciding, hey, it makes sense to like, let's build out the brokerage side of the business?
Yeah, ultimately, I mean, you know, we're in the Wisconsin market. When you say that, a lot of people are not thinking hot market. But for that area, it is, you know, on the hotter end of what it has been for the last decade. So, you know, when an acquisition person's going on an appointment, they're getting a stack of 25 to 30 cars and saying, which one are you? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's up to you to build that rapport and try to build it out. But at the same time, they're letting you know, typically, hey, you know, I'm meeting with you, but I've got, you know, three, four, five other people that I want to meet with. And ultimately, you know, you can sometimes walk away with a contract with the right sales skills and not having them go to someone else. But a lot of times they're going to try to play the park and see if they can get a higher end deal and play back and forth and, you know, raise your rate that you're going to go to. And then besides that, you know, we've got a ton of them that are basically telling us, well, I don't want to accept the cash offer at this point because I can just put it on the market and sell it less than 30 days. And,
yeah,
you know, what's the point? So,
right.
Okay. You know, we're missing out on half appointments that we could convert if we didn't go down the retail model. And, you know, 12 months ago from now, even though, you know, my partner was a broker and we talked about it, she didn't really want to be a listing agent, and I get it. So 12 months prior to this, you know, we were not grabbing the retail stuff. We were letting it go.
Yeah.
And probably five months ago, whatever the case may be, we started grabbing them. And now, you know, we're doing probably right now about two, maybe three of the retail listings every month that are actually going for us. And we're able to convert a couple of them from, you know, they want 100 grand and we're thinking, you know, we can probably buy it for 40 and we'll put it up at 100 and they're not able to get their 100 because they're way above what its retail value is. That's just the number they got in their head and that's what they want. Fine. Yeah. We'll put it up on the MLS. We'll let it go. And let's talk about this in 30 days and see how it went. And we've converted one already this last month off of that. Just put it on the MLS and bring it back and talk after it doesn't sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And so what is the compensation? Cause you kind of touched on it, but I'm not sure I understand, like, how's the compensation work? Obviously you guys are paying for all the marketing, you know, you're taking care of all the leads for these agents that you bring on. Are they just getting their regular, you know, 3 or 6% commission, or what does that compensation structure look like for them?
So if we take down a deal, that we did the marketing for, it is a 50% cut on their, or 50-50 commission on the back end. But we're also giving a flat fee. So a flat fee for our area, I can tell you he was doing about $4,000 for his area, but his listings were $400,000 and $500,000. You know, ours in our area are 150, 200. So for us, you know, when we bring on the agent, obviously we don't have one now, but what that's going to look like is right around, we got to still drill down the numbers, but it's right around 1500 to $2,000 set flat fee to bring on that listing. And then if we close on a wholesale deal and then list it, they would get their typical 3 to whatever percentage.
Okay. Okay. And that flat fee, they get it once they bring home the contract, or that once they, you know, they send in the signed contract, are they getting that flat fee at that point, or?
For the wholesale deal, once we close.
Okay. Once you close. Got it. Yeah. So they're not getting paid anything, because I've heard a different model in which, you know, they get paid up front just when they get the contract signed to, you know, I guess incentivize them or keep them not having to wait. Obviously, you know, in our business, sometimes we sign contracts and they might not close for 30, you know, 40 days, whenever. Sometimes they don't all close, obviously. So I was just curious, because I've heard of another model where, you know, they pay essentially once they get the contract signed.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting. Okay, cool, brother. Cool. So, man, what's been, I guess, you know, I know you guys are only 2-3 months into this process. What's been, I guess, the biggest challenge or any lessons learned as you've kind of gone down this road with a new partner?
Ultimately, anytime you pivot and change a business model, there's hiccups. And for us, it's really been, you know, we had a leads manager that literally Friday was there, Monday they didn't show, and we had just gotten a brand new office and they had a key to it. And so we had to rekey everything. And the, you know, factor that made us pivot was we're sick and tired of having one person kind of run the business, where now that leads manager is gone, we got to hire a call center. If we don't hire the call center, you know, we've got to fill in that spot, whether that's me or her or somebody else.
Yeah.
We've got to fill it in. So For us, the realtors will take that that role. Besides going on the appointments, they're going to wind up taking the initial calls as well. Some of them, you know, will be more so for appointments. So they'll be focused more, the A game, if you will be focused on appointments. And then we'll have others that will be more focused on taking calls and doing some cold calling and stuff like that. And the bumps and bruises that we've had right now, honestly, is just trying to find exactly what we're looking for, to bring them in on the team. There's tons of agents out there, but not all of the agents that you want to bring on the team and try to build something like this with. So, you know, we've done a ton of interviews at this point, and I think we're close finally to start grabbing a couple of them and bring them on board. But that the hiring process, to me is one of those areas where my partner takes that most of that for the role. And it's not fun to me and I don't like it. And it's one of those roles that I just don't like. It doesn't, I don't enjoy it. Right. So, that's been one of my, you know, hurdles right now in the last 2 months, kind of talking about the game of bringing these agents on and how to manage them and what systems to have in place. You know, when we talk about bringing them on and then having a system and having, you know, the policies and procedures and videos, how to do stuff like that, I love it. I'm all about it. But the actual hiring process, no thanks.
Yeah. And you know what, man, I'm a really big advocate of kind of staying in your lane. And what I mean by that is really spending your time, energy, and focus on the things that give you energy and the things that you enjoy doing. Because, you know, like, I bet you if your partner kind of dumped this on your lap and said, hey, I need you to take over the hiring process and all that, like, yeah, you might do it and you'd probably be successful at it. But if you don't enjoy it, like, what's the point? You know, and I think there's so many of us, whether they're entrepreneurs or wannapreneurs, that, you know, they wear these hats in their business and they don't find a way to get that off their plate and onto the right person's plate. And I think it's just, I wanted to just highlight that. I think it's important that you enjoy the processes, the systems, the automation, and that's kind of where you shine. Like, that's whether it's a unique ability or just something you like doing. And I think if you're considering partnering with someone, really look at what they bring to the table, what you bring to the table, whether it's a strength, a weakness, or just, you know, the unique ability that each of you bring, and make sure that it's a complement to each other and not, you know, and I think that's why, like, when we hire, you know, having them take the Colby test is important. You know, like, if I'm a high follow through, I don't necessarily want another high follow through, right? Just generally speaking, you know what I mean? So anyway, man, I just kind of wanted to, like, you know, piggyback on something you said there, because I think it's really important. And I think it's a mistake that a lot of people make when they partner with people. You know, they don't take the time to really see if they're complementing each other in a certain way.
Yeah, we've, in the past, when we've hired people on, we make them take the DISC profile, and we also do the Colby at some point through the hiring process as well. But the DISC, you know, you can grab that for free off of Tony Robbins' website. So
yeah,
we pull that. Part of our appointment setting process actually uses the DISC as well. We have our leads manager kind of let us know what type of person they are. So the ACT person going on the appointment knows what they're going into, whether they need to have 30 comps or be ready to spend 2 hours talking because they like to be friendly and talk forever. So
yeah,
definitely believe that. It's been great to just have the systems in place to know who works well together and what pieces fit where the best, and kind of put them in that role for sure.
Right. Well, I'm excited for you, as you're 3 months into this, and I know it's kind of a sort of a beast to wrap your arms around, man. And it seems like you guys are moving forward. You hired someone to help you with this process, and I'm excited to kind of talk in, you know, 3, 6, 12 months and just kind of see, you know, what the business looks like for you. And I'd love to kind of have you back on in the future to go back and just talk about what you learned in the process. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, exciting times. We're getting closer to a new year and kind of starting a new model, and I look forward to it.
Yeah. Awesome, dude. So, hey, man, couple questions before we wrap up here. I know you mentioned traction. That's had a big impact on your business. So kind of a two-part question. Number one, what's your favorite book and or the book that's had the biggest impact on your life or your business? And then the second part of that question is, what's one of your favorite books to gift?
Okay. Obviously, Traction is one of the better books for the systems and processes. Besides that, if I had to give a secondary, I would say almost just about any Mike Michalowicz, but Profit First is a real good one that I like.
Yeah.
Kind of just going over how to bring in the money and make sure you're getting paid, but also make sure that you have the money set aside for the different parts of your business. And as far as gifting book, honestly, I love Toilet Paper Entrepreneur.
You know, I haven't read that one. That's interesting. In a nutshell, like, because I don't even know what it's about, but I've heard it, you know, brought up on several occasions. I got to add that one to the list. You have like a 5-10 second synopsis of what the book's about in a nutshell?
Yeah, just basically bootstrapping it and do what you're good at. It's definitely, you know, the typical starting of a business and understanding that you don't have to have gold plated everything. Start with what you know, use what you've got. And, you know, from that, you can build. Obviously, we all talk about, you know, having systems and processes in place. But sometimes you're dealt with the hands that you have. You either have a bunch of time or you have a bunch of money. Use what you have.
Okay. Very cool. I got to check that one out, man. Appreciate it, Dan. Well, hey, man, thanks for, you know, for hopping on here. And so where can people reach out to you? Because I know you have some other services you offer. And I know, you know, just in case anybody is in your market or they want to connect with you, maybe there's some synergies. Best place to connect with you.
Yeah, so they can either jump on to our website, which is www.reiautomationsquad.com, or email us, and it's reiautomationsquad@gmail.com.
Okay, beautiful. And by the way, guys, we'll include, as we do with all the shows, we'll include all the links to, you know, book recommendations where you can connect with Don, and everything else that we mentioned in the show. That'll be in the show notes page, so you guys can just click on it and get to where you need to go. So, Don, brother, really appreciate the time. And again, thanks for your service, man. I love what you're doing. And I know there's a lot going on right now. So appreciate you taking the time to hop on and kind of dissect everything that's going on. And again, I know we'll stay in contact, but I'd love to have you back on in the future and just kind of do a part two as far as, you know, what you've learned in the process and, you know, how everything develops from there, because I think this might be a model that really opens some people's eyes to, hey, maybe this is a direction I should go in, especially if you're in a hot market.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to it. And thanks for having me.
Awesome, Don. Take care.
See ya.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.